Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
Take a moment and just breathe. Inhale deeply. What if that simple act, something we do thousands of times a day without a thought, is both the problem and the solution?
You know, that question really hits home for me. I spent years living in the heart of a major city, and I just accepted that feeling of, well, of grit. The constant low-level headache, the feeling that you could never get a truly clean breath of air. I just thought that was the price of admission for city life. It wasn't until I started consciously getting away into green spaces that I realized it didn't have to be.
And that's the journey we're starting today. We're going to explore a profound and growing tension in our modern world, the concrete and steel of our cities versus the deep, quiet wisdom of our forests. We'll be looking at the invisible toll that urbanization takes on our bodies, specifically through the air we breathe.
But we're not just here to talk about the problem. We're here to ask a really compelling question. Can an ancient practice, a simple immersion in nature, actually be one of the most powerful tools we have to protect our health in the 21st century?
Welcome to our conversation. Today, we're delving into the power of forest bathing, the influence of urbanization on air quality and wellness. We'll unpack the science, hear from experts, and explore how we can reclaim our well-being, one breath at a time.
It's going to be a fascinating discussion, and we're so glad you're here to join us.
It's fascinating, isn't it? That feeling you described, that acceptance of the grit, is something societies have gone through on a massive scale. We think of this as a modern problem, but really, it's a story that's been unfolding for centuries.
Accelerated is one word for it. I mean, when did we even start to realize this was a problem? You hear about the smog in Los Angeles in the 70s, but it has to go back further than that, right?
Oh, much further. Archaeologists have found mummified remains from ancient Peru and Egypt with blackened lungs. The cause? Open fires in poorly ventilated homes. But the real shift, the moment the air itself became an industrial byproduct, was the Industrial Revolution.
Of course. The smokestacks.
Exactly. Picture London or Manchester in the 19th century. Buildings literally turning black with soot. Trees in the parks withering away. There was so much smoke-induced fog that it blocked the sunlight, which actually contributed to a rise in rickets in children.
That's horrifying. A disease caused by a lack of sunlight because of smoke? Why didn't people do something?
Because, and this is the crucial part, the political and business leaders of the time had a completely different perspective. Heavy black smoke meant prosperity. It meant the factories were running, profits were high, and people had jobs. There's even a Soviet-era poster with the slogan, "The smoke of chimneys is the breath of Soviet Russia."
Wow. That really reframes it. It wasn't just ignorance. It was a value system. Smoke was a symbol of progress, not pollution.
It was the engine of the economy made visible. And it took a catastrophe to change that mindset. A literal, undeniable, deadly event.
You're talking about the Great Smog of London.
The Great Smog of 1952, a period of cold weather combined with an anticyclone, trapped a thick layer of airborne pollutants, mostly from coal, over the city for 5 days. It was so thick, people couldn't see their own feet.
I can't even imagine that. It sounds like something out of a horror film.
The initial reports were that a few hundred people had died, but later analysis, the number is estimated to be closer to 12,000 deaths.
12,000 in 5 days?
12,000 people. That was the turning point. You couldn't argue that smoke meant prosperity anymore. Not when the cost was that visible, that immediate. It directly led to the Clean Air Act of 1956. It was a paradigm shift, born from tragedy.
So, it took a disaster of that scale to finally connect the dots between the air we breathe and our immediate survival. It makes you wonder what invisible disasters we're living through right now that we just can't see yet.
That is precisely the question, isn't it? The Great Smog was a monster you could see. You can feel it on your skin, taste it in the back of your throat. The invisible disaster we're living through now, it's silent. It's odorless. It's the fine particulate matter, the stuff we call PM2.5.
I've seen that term on air quality reports, PM2.5, but I don't think I really know what it is. It just sounds like a scientific code for bad air.
That's a good way to put it. Think of it this way. Take a single human hair. The diameter of that hair is about 70 micrometers. These particles, PM2.5, are 2.5 micrometers or less. So, you could line up almost 30 of them across the width of one of your hairs.
Okay. Wow. So, impossibly small.
Impossibly small. And that's the danger. Our bodies have defenses. The hairs in our nose, mucus in our airways, they're designed to catch larger particles like dust and pollen. But these are so fine, they slip right past all of those defenses. They go deep into the lungs, into the tiniest air sacs, the alveoli.
And that's where the damage to the lungs happens, I assume. Like with asthma or COPD.
It starts there, yes. It absolutely exacerbates those conditions. But the story doesn't end in the lungs. That's what the science of the last 2 decades has made terrifyingly clear. Because they are so small, they can pass through the lung tissue and directly into your bloodstream.
Wait, hold on. Into your blood? You mean these tiny particles of soot or metal or chemicals from car exhaust are just circulating in your body?
Circulating everywhere. Once they're in the bloodstream, they're like tiny invaders. The body's immune system goes on high alert, triggering a state of chronic low-grade inflammation. And that inflammation is a precursor to so many of our modern diseases.
Like what? What are we talking about here?
We're talking about a significant increase in the risk for stroke, for ischemic heart disease. The constant inflammation irritates the lining of your blood vessels, which can accelerate atherosclerosis, the hardening of the arteries. It's not just a respiratory issue anymore. It's a full-blown cardiovascular crisis happening silently inside millions of us.
That is deeply unsettling. So when I'm out for a run on a day with moderate air quality, I'm not just breathing a bit of smog. I'm potentially absorbing particles that are stressing my heart, my arteries.
You're increasing your body's inflammatory load. And it goes even further. There's growing evidence linking these particulates to neurodegenerative diseases. Things like dementia and Alzheimer's. The thinking is they can cross the blood-brain barrier, causing inflammation directly in the brain tissue.
So this invisible thing, this PM2.5, it's not just attacking our lungs. It's a systemic threat. It's going after our hearts. And now you're saying it could be going after our minds.
Exactly. It's a systemic threat. And that realization, as chilling as it is, brings us full circle, right back to where we started this conversation. We've spent all this time talking about what the urban environment, what this bad air does to us, the inflammation, the stress on our hearts, our brains, but we haven't talked about the other side of the equation, what the natural environment does for us.
You mean just getting away from the pollution? Finding cleaner air to breathe?
That's part of it, of course, a huge part. But the research is showing something far more active is happening. It isn't just about what's absent in the forest air, the soot, the metals. It's about what's present.
What's present? You mean like oxygen?
More than that. Trees, especially conifers, they release these airborne aromatic compounds called phytoncides. It's essentially their immune system. They use them to fight off pests, to ward off disease. And when we walk through a forest and we breathe, we're inhaling their immune system.
Okay, wait. So, We're breathing in tree medicine? That sounds a little out there.
It does, I know. But the science is remarkable. Studies out of Japan, where Shinrin-yoku, or forest bathing, is a national health practice, have shown that when we inhale these phytoncides, the number and activity of our own natural killer cells, they call them NK cells, dramatically increases.
Natural killer cells. Those are part of our immune system, right? They fight tumors and viruses?
They're the front line. And remember, that chronic low-grade inflammation we talked about, the one caused by PM2.5? This boost in NK cell activity is a direct physiological counterpunch to that. It's not just a feeling of well-being. Your body is literally equipping itself to fight back. The forest is arming your immune system.
That reframes everything. I always thought a walk in the woods was about mental clarity, about escaping the noise, a psychological benefit. But you're saying it's a biological one. But does it have to be a deep ancient forest? I live in a city. Is a walk in the city park enough to do anything?
That's the most hopeful part of all this. Yes, the effects are measurable, even after a short walk in a city park. The key isn't about the scale of the wilderness, it's about the quality of the immersion. It's about slowing down, paying attention to the light through the leaves, the smell of the damp earth. It's about engaging your senses. That's the bathing part of forest bathing.
So, it's not just a transaction of escaping bad air for good air. It's a relationship, an interaction. It changes how I think about that patch of green down the street. It's not just scenery. It's a resource, a public health utility.
It's a pharmacy, and the prescription is free. We began by asking if the simple act of breathing could be both the problem and the solution. And I think we found the answer. In the city, the breath can be a vehicle for a silent poison. But in the woods, even a small one, that same breath becomes a vehicle for medicine.
Wow. What a powerful thought to end on. It really brings it all home. This has been an incredible conversation, and it's given me so much to think about. I hope it's done the same for all of you listening. Our challenge, then, isn't just to fight for cleaner air, but to cherish and seek out these spaces that actively heal us. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey today. Be well, and maybe go find a tree to breathe with.